And here she is laughing it up. What's up, man?
I had to fix my camera.
Well, okay. I mean, if you don't mind, where are we at?
Yeah.
I'm at the crib.
Just at a different spot.
No, I'm just in my house.
You know. Oh, there. Oh. Okay, there. All right.
Oh, you in VA? You in VA?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was at the WNBA game the other night.
Yeah, I saw her at Barclays. Yeah, I saw her at Barclays doing what she do.
All her friends are like you. They're all rich. You see, old boy had the Louis Vuitton sweater on. Like, man.
Yeah, my friends are rich, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he told me the crazy. He's a WNBA agent. Owns a agency. Anyway, can't share it here. But, Will, there was a crazy story that I heard about Kennedy Carter. Man,
it's immediately believable.
Maybe one of the craziest stories I've heard about a college athlete pro athlete.
Just make it a group.
In my life.
Yeah, just make it a group text. Yeah, I know you text Dane, but just go ahead and make it a group text this time, man. You know what I mean? Just go ahead and make it a group text.
How was the game? Were you okay with the way it ended?
No, I hated it. Mm. I hated it. It was so disgusting. By the way, number one, I didn't put this on my video right after the game, but Courtney's got to figure it out. Like, she's got to get her conditioning right. Mm. Courtney Williams found the worst possible time to turn into a pumpkin. She was so tentative. She wouldn't go all the way to the rack. She was like, she was terrified of Jonquel Jones. Mm. And I don't know why when you're tentative and you're not playing well and you've been benched and you're out of sorts physically, like they had to kind of load manage her through the series, why you would take the first three shots of overtime. Like, why do you think that you can just turn it on? Like, and she has turned it on. So maybe that was what she thought she was going to do. So that was number one. It felt to me the entire time, and I was texting with her agent, Courtney Williams' agent that you saw with the Louis Vuitton sweater. I was like, does it feel to you that the refs are so blatantly trying to get the Liberty back into this game? Mm. This is insanity. Mm. The physicality. Nafisa was getting hit in the face.
Yeah.
Multiple times. This is the first time in her career that she shot more than 11 times and not gone to the free throw line. She shot 23 times and not go to the free throw line once. Mm. That's crazy to think about. The Stewie foul with 5 seconds left, 5.8 seconds left was crazy, considering that that's exactly what I experienced in game one as well. Mm-hmm. So it was just absurd. The Kathy Engelbert wearing the New York, what are you doing, baby?
Yeah, that was whack.
Part of me is like, do I need to work for the league?
Yes.
There are decisions that are absolutely disgusting. Like, you cannot show up with that dress on.
Yeah.
After that, you need someone to go to Saks or to Marshall's, who's right across the street. Kathy, put something else on. After these calls, the way that they were, you're putting anything else on, because now the look looks like there's impropriety, which you cannot have. Unless you're going to say to me with a straight face that you had Twin Cities. You had St. Paul and Minneapolis skyline on another dress if they would have won. The whole thing is crazy.
This is one of the most ill-conceived things I've ever seen a commissioner / president of a league do.
She's horrible.
She is awful. She's terrible. She's the worst commissioner I've ever had.
She's got to go. If I'm the WNBAPA, I'm going to say, we're not doing any more. We are fine with just – our players, unrivaled, just turning into the new WNBA down in Miami. We are fine with that. We are fine with a work stoppage. Mm. We are fine with our players going to Europe for a year. We can't have a conversation until she's out of there. Mm. Out of there.
You know,
she's had a lot of missteps the last few months.
Yes.
So many.
I am not a believer in conspiracy theories and games being fixed and all this other stuff. I'm just not, you know what I mean? Because my thing with that is always, if you think the games are fixed, then you have to believe the players are involved. Because how do you explain missed shots? How do you explain turnovers? There are certain things, I know, influence and all this other stuff, but at the end of the day, if somebody's making a shot, they're making a shot. You know what I mean? They're missing the shot. They're missing the shot. With all that being said, it's clear New York winning was what was best for business. And
yes,
a lot of the stuff that took place, I'm with you guys. I didn't like it. It all leads to them looking out for the Liberty. And I hate to do that because I think the Liberty are a willing champion and deserving champion and all this other stuff. But the Stewie call, you know, and just the discrepancy of foul. You talk about Nafisa not
and
going
the
to
travel.
Travel. Yeah. Like,
the travel.
I don't know. And maybe it's all subconscious, too. It doesn't have to be something overt or some type of big scheme or something like that. Maybe it's subconscious about those refs. They're human beings, but everything.
Yeah, you look up and see your boss wearing a New York Skyline dress. Maybe you think about how you're calling this.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole thing was wild. You know, to be in there was crazy. Sabrina, let me ask you guys this. If Caitlin did on that stage, even as a rookie in a closeout game, mm-hmm. what Sabrina did, 1 for 19, what is happening on TV right now? What does the discourse look like right now on Twitter, on First Take? It was like crickets. Nobody wants to criticize. And I love Sabrina. As a Oregon Duck, she's the best. She's like, I can't hate on her. I'm like so rooting for her. But she was awful in that entire series outside of that game 3 where she somehow put the team on her back and hit some crucial shots. Mm. She hit 3 crucial shots and did absolutely nothing. And then she had that dime to Stewie for the lay. But overall, Sabrina was on a milk carton and she knows it. If that was Caitlin Clark, and I don't mean to center Caitlin Clark in the situation, but she's another guard in this league who is hyped up and is very good, right? And is an ISO player that plays, you know, out to the logo. If that was Caitlin Clark, I think we would be experiencing a lot of criticism for her, even if it was in her rookie year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Sabrina, I knew it was all bad in that fourth quarter and I hate when shooters do this. I am against the follow your shot. Hell no. I'm standing up there with the follow through up until that ball goes through the net. And I knew it was all bad because at least a handful of times in that fourth quarter, she'd shoot a 3 and run after the rebound immediately. It's like, oh, you're not seeing things right now. Like, you know, it's off. And that it's nerves, it's the defense, it's all this other stuff. But she wasn't there. She wasn't there to knock down them shots.
Alana Smith, unsung hero. She put Stewie in prison. Mm. My goodness. She was just strapped. And she was guarding Sabrina as well. And Nafisa Collier, we don't even talk about her enough in terms of she's 6'1".
Mm-hmm.
She's playing the center position, playing the power forward position at 6'1", going up against Jonquel Jones, going up against Breonna Stewart, making their life a living hell.
Two MVPs.
Come on now. Putting these girls in handcuffs. Defensive player of the year caliber. So, and I thought that Fibich for the Liberty as a rookie and a European player, she's going to really be one of the catalysts for rookies to come over from Europe and just immediately make a contribution. I think the WNBA right now is the interest and the discourse is at an all-time high, considering the NBA players were basically tweeting about it being a robbery for the entirety of that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting to be able to have these conversations, and everybody in the chatty house knows what's going on, and it's not like...
Well, the good news is, too, like on the good part of it, not just the bad, is when Sabrina hit that shot, everybody went crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those things where it felt like everyone saw it.
Yeah.
Yes. And in the arena as well. That place is goosebumps.
Mm.
19,000 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
No, you couldn't find an empty seat. Mm. I was looking all the way up to the rafters, all the way to the ceiling to see if there's any empty nosebleed seats. There was none. It was the volume, the excitement was better than, and I kid you not, better than any finals game I've ever been to, any NBA finals game.
They're world champions, and I don't mean to disrespect them. I'm just analyzing what I saw. You could visibly see in that fourth quarter what Breonna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu, the moment was too big.
Which is crazy, because Stewie's probably the greatest winner of the last decade and a half.
And I don't
100% right.
This was different.
She missed those two free throws, boy.
They were shook by that moment.
They were shook.
That moment of being in New York, the Liberty, Teaspoon, and all them people on it. Spike Lee.
What the hell was Swin Cash crying for? Like, hugging Angel Reese. Like, what do you got to do with any of this?
I found that odd too. But you could just see in the way they played in the move, like something like Stewie on that shot, the foul shot where she misses it, and she's just like she saw a ghost, and like, oh, they called a foul. Okay, great. I was glad she made the free throws. I thought she was gonna miss the free throws again.
Did you see Sandy Brondello? I posted this to Threads. Sandy Brondello, after that timeout with whatever 5.8 seconds left to go, she said, "If you get hit, embellish it. They're gonna call the foul." It's just a bad look, guys. It's just really a bad look.
Yeah, it wasn't the best way for this season to end. Obviously, it ended in dramatic fashion, which is great. It ended with eyeballs, close games, get more eyes. But you don't want this to be the conversation.
Yeah.
No.
And that's tough. It was a hell of a year. Do you have any thoughts on the news we learned yesterday? I think a lot of people, the WNBA and the Players Association are ending this current collective bargaining agreement and preparing to negotiate a new one. The term work stoppage is being used a lot in articles. It's obviously very possible. Anytime you separate from a collective bargaining agreement, you have to renegotiate. A possibility of a work stoppage is obviously there. I really feel like the term work stoppage is being used to get you to click on the article right now, because the odds of it happening, I think, are next to none.
Yeah, it's... To me, what is happening here is really fascinating. And I've spent all morning today doing research on this exact topic, which is, I think the WNBA is shady. I think this is what's going on. I think there's plainly tomfoolery going on about the economics of this league. I think that's why the New York Post article came out earlier this week saying that the WNBA was slated to lose $40 million this year. So 2018, Adam Silver came out and said that the league was losing $10 million a year. That's the last time we've ever heard about the profitability or not profitability of this league, right? He's never said anything since. The league, the WNBA, never talks about it. So we don't really know, right? So let's just say that 2018 number is true. They lost $10 million in 2018. Profits, we'll just say revenues in general, have gone up 100% in last season. We don't know what this season has brought, but $200 million in revenue, which is double and more than obviously what the revenue was in 2018. So how does the revenue increase by 5X and the losses also go up 5X, 4 to 5X? There is really suspicious stuff going on in terms of what the real economics are with this league. And I think about the charters, for example. We don't have a $25 million for the charters. Can't do it. Joe Tsai says, I'll pay for it. I've got it. I want everybody to be on planes. Somehow, Caitlin Clark comes in. She's like, listen, I've been on charter flights in Iowa. All of a sudden, the league comes out and finds $25 million, actually $50 million because it's over 2 years. Just finds it. We've got it. We have it. Everybody's on charter flights now. They have more money than they're saying. They're making more money than they're saying. The NHL, and you look at the rights fees and how dirty the WNBA got a deal done for whatever it was, like $10 million a year, when MLS is making way more money for way less viewers, $250 million per year with Apple TV. The economics... I don't have a full picture yet, But the economics, as somebody who majored in finance, do not make sense. Mm-hmm. And I think the WNBA, I'm willing to say, I think the WNBA is profitable. I just don't think anybody wants us to believe that.
Hmm.
Then you have to pay the players, because then you have to pay the players what they're worth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's probably another issue, too. As you were talking about the charters, the first thing that my mind is drawn to are the owners.
Yes.
There's no, with the exception of Joe Tsai, there's not a lot of like Steve Ballmers. You know, I mean, I know there aren't Steve Ballmers, period, but there aren't guys of that ilk, that level of wealth. And I mean, there are guys that want to spend. And I always go to Michael Alter. He's a very nice man. He owns the Chicago Sky, but he runs the Chicago Sky like it's a convenience store. Like, and he wants to keep the overhead low and do all of this. And like, when you read things like consistency and facilities and travel, they're talking to people like Michael Alter. They're talking to the owner of the Chicago Sky when they say those things publicly. That is directly who they are talking to, because it's not across the board. There is a process in the NBA to become an owner. And part of that process is you have to, you know, 5-star facilities, like everything has to be of a professional sports level. That hasn't been the case in the W since it's in existence, or really since they broke off from the NBA. Being, you know, every team being tied to the NBA.
Well, and there's a lot of that still going on, too, where there's NBA owners who own these WNBA teams, and the economics, the WNBA players percentage wise are still significantly lower in terms of how much they're taking from the revenue of the W than even the NBA in 1976. So they're getting roughly 11% of the WNBA's revenue. If they were to get even 50-50 at the level that it's at right now, we're talking about a 5x increase in salaries. And I just think they're playing poor mouth, so they don't have to pay players what they actually are worth. And the real saving grace is that I don't think Caitlin's going for it. I don't think her team's going for it. I think there's going to be big key players, star players, that are not going to allow being lied to about what the economics are, because I don't think that like Caitlin's going to get $250,000 a year from the WNBA. I think she'll get as much as her team can get, which means that's going to trickle down to the Nafisa Colliers of the world, the Breonna Stewarts of the world. And if I'm them, I'm only signing a short-term deal until this deal gets done. In 2026.
Dame, I'd want to know why you think there's no chance of a work stoppage. I think this would be the time.
Yeah.
This would be when they have the most leverage.
Leverage.
Who's they?
The players.
Yeah, that's the players. That's the point. Like, if the owners run the writ, you stop, you lose everything. All of this, like, a strike has never been good for a single sports entity out there. This isn't the NFL where you just bounce back and it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. The NBA wasn't destroyed by it by any stretch of the imagination, but like, that was a rough year for them. It took them to the W can't afford that. The Joe Tsai, the powerful, like the big money owners in the league, they are the ones who need to make sure this doesn't happen.
Oh, so you mean the owners won't let it happen?
No, I mean, the owners can't let it happen.
But the players will be willing to.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely believe the players would. Page, the owners can't.
Got you.
They can't afford. Like, you risk losing 27 years of momentum if this league stops.
But think about Rob Manfred. And, like, that's kind of what I see Kathy Engelbert is like, they're running it almost like Major League Baseball. The books aren't open. We don't have any information. They're crying being poor. You've got a commissioner who I don't think really cares about the future of the mm-hmm. sport. She's got to go.
Yep.
Like, she really has to go before this negotiation takes place, because as you said, Damien, it's very fragile right now. Mm-hmm. It's in a place where there's a potential for it to really boom, but there's a potential for it to crumble if there's a work stoppage. I don't think she gives a crap at all. I think she's willing to put her foot down, her proverbial, you know, Louboutin down onto the ground, and say, you guys are going to get this. And I think the WNBA PA needs to put their foot down and say, listen, there's plenty of other places for us to go where we're doing huge numbers, and TNT is already doing a streaming deal with unrivaled player-owned leagues, right? And we're fine with that. We don't need you guys. And they need that 50-50 split has to be in there. And on top of that, what's also not being discussed is that league revenue is not added to the pot where it is in the NBA. So all the television rights money does not go into the pot for the WNBA salaries the same way that it does for the NBA. That needs to be combined, because you get from 20% to 10% if you add in the TV rights deal. And that's only going to go up when a new TV rights deal is negotiated, because we're getting millions of viewers now on top of all the other revenue.
I'm with you. I don't think the owners would or should play a game here. Give them what they want, so you can keep the momentum of what you've invested, like you said, over 27 years at this point.
Refresh my memory, because you just brought up the TV deal. This was like a handshake thing, right? Where the W and the NBA signed this, I think, 10 or 11 year deal. And it was, if the WNBA continues to essentially outperform this TV deal, we go back to the table and we renegotiate how this all works. I wasn't clear who does the renegotiating. Was it the networks? Was it the NBA? Because I remember, didn't the PA say the NBA negotiated the deal? And they're like, how did you get to this number?
The NBA rolled the WNBA into their deal.
Right.
And that's also shady.
The NBA claimed the WNBA on their taxes.
essentially, they got a dependent.
And think about this. It helps and behooves the WNBA owners to claim a loss. A profit helps them in no way.
Mm-hmm.
It really is starting to piss me off that people are in my comments and in my mentions. Can you guys tell?
I hadn't noticed.
I'm very fired up about this. Saying that the WNBA isn't profitable and using that as a way to diminish the quality in the product that we're watching, and saying the reason that it's not profitable is because of X, Y, or Z, or because it's not profitable, these players don't deserve X, Y, or Z. When the truth of the matter is, we're getting finessed. There's all kinds of reasons for the WNBA to not be profitable. And that is tax implications, that is to keep salaries low, that is for negotiating power, that is to keep NBA owners happy because they're getting their investment. I mean, there's a lot of reasons here to keep that narrative going, which is why when that New York Post article came out, I was like, wow, it really is a dirty game.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a finance major like yourself, but it doesn't add up to me that it's not profitable right now.
Where is the money going?
Yeah.
Why are you losing so much money? How could it be? They just got $75 million cash infusion from a bunch of investors that is ostensibly some of that money going to the charter flight. That's what they're saying. But even if it didn't, you've got that money. You've got the money coming off the charter. Expenses haven't ballooned. Right. Salaries haven't gone up. Attendance is going up. Merch sales are going up. TV ratings are going up. You have a new TV deal. Where is that money going that's taking you from a $10 million loss to a $40 million loss?
$30 million ads. did Sweetie, who were the rappers? Was it Sweetie? Did she cost $30 million to write a song for the play? It doesn't make sense that they're losing money, and especially that number. That number's crazy.
At a point when the league's interest has never been higher, attendance has never been higher, Fanatics is saying, you've got WNBA jerseys selling out. We can't put enough of them in. You got 1.4 million people watching on TV. Where's the money going?
I don't know. I'm trying to...
But nobody can tell us, and nobody will tell us. And that's where I'm starting. My conspiracy, feelers are starting to, the hackles are starting to go up. I'm starting to believe as of today that the WNBA is profitable if they don't want to do the funny money math.
Well, I was at the beginning of the season, I was having a conversation with a couple of homies about whether it's profitable, whether NBA's lost money and all this other stuff. And one thing that I was able to find was nothing was clear. You would just get somebody writing something saying they've lost money. Like, and this has been going on for years. Like, it was never a breakdown of how, why, where the money's coming from. It was just, no, they've lost money. I was okay. They're I'm looking for more. Yeah, I'm looking for more. I want to know how. I want it because I want to be able to talk my talk one way or the other. And I could never find anything.
Never. Don't you think that's odd? Like, I feel that's odd. You know, we're starting to kind of, and I think these are the questions we should really be asking. I read a huge breakdown on it today in a business magazine, and they reached out to the WNBA for comment, and the league will not talk about what their economics are.
Okay.
I've now got a new mission. I've got time on my hands.
Investigative reporter Trista Crick here on the scene. Camped outside the NBA office in an RV. Getting to the bottom of this.
It's facts. And speaking of, you know, the investigation, there's a guy, David Barry, who just came out with a book called Slaying the Trolls, all about the profitability of the WNBA, or at least, you know, that conversation around it. He's going to be a guest on the Heat Check soon. Talking about this very thing.
Okay. What's his name again?
His name is David Berry, Berri. His handle on X is Wages of Wins.
Oh, good for you calling it X.
Yeah, calling it X.
You're a professional. You're a professional. That's good. We still call the Commanders the football team, yes. So just whatever.
What's going on with this jacket?
Me?
You've got like spray paint on the arms.
It's not spray paint. It's just is fire.
What is it?
It's the logo. It's fire. It's like flames. Literal fire. It's flames.
I'm surprised you don't have as much, you know, like a bunch of logos all over it.
Oh, no, you're getting your jokes off. That's good. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Get all your jokes off. Go ahead. He's in the Instagram comments making jokes. It's
Fit
good.
Watch. Fit Watch. That's
you guys are some of the most swaggy. Like, you guys are so swaggy. Everything
you act like you're a scrub. Yeah, like, what are you talking about? Like, we in this together. What you doing?
We ain't doing that, Trista Crick.
You guys are just parlaying. You guys are just stunting, you know, making sure everybody knows what time it is. You got the chain on, got the Kiss logo on the T-shirt.
Who wore Kiss first?
I think I know the answer.
Go ahead, answer it.
The little one in the middle.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was you.
Absolutely.
It was you. It was you. You good? You got it out.
NBA season is here, guys. I'm excited. I don't know if you can tell.
KC got the Knicks winning the championship.
It's my hot take.
Man, it's so tenuous, though. You know, we talked about this last week. I just maybe, but Mitchell Robinson's not going to be back until January. Mm-hmm. You got Precious Achiuwa, which I don't.
He's out too, isn't he? Didn't he get hurt? Didn't Precious get hurt?
Yeah, he's injured as well for, I think, 6 weeks. So who's their backup? Are they going to go and get somebody?
They got what's his name, Jericho Sims?
Mm-hmm. Jericho Sims. I think Chong's posted something that they're targeting some random, which who knows, right? And this is
Hassan Whiteside bidding war.
Yeah. You can't get Andre Drummond now because MB's not doing back-to-backs.
Yeah.
The Knicks are like really like going to have to thread the needle from an injury standpoint. Mm-hmm. And Mikal Bridges, his shot's broken. Oh. Like the first episode of Insecure when Issa Rae is at, yeah,
yeah,
you know what
all
I mean?
Right. Yep. All right.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, for the not everybody will get it, but that's fine. It's,
that's a deep pool right there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a deep pull. So, like, that's straight broke. You've got OG who has not been healthy. You've got Jalen who's got his own set of issues.
Oh, wow. So you're not buying this.
I'm not buying it. I want to buy it. I'm excited to get on board if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I really want to be wrong. Because they're fun, right? Like, they have the potential to be awesome. Cat has had injury issues the last 2 years.
Yes.
Like, you got a, it's a very fragile team. It's not as fragile as the two stars with Philly, but like, they're fragile. Milwaukee, fragile. Sixers, fragile. Mm-hmm. New York, fragile.
And New York is not going to get any days off.
And then they won't get any days off.
Got two a days in the middle of the season.
Yeah. Tibbs is not going to load manage anybody. He's going to make you run.
He's gotten better with that. Will you guys leave him alone? Didn't he shed that rep already?
No.
No?
He has not. We had Josh Hart playing 48 minutes.
No, he did. Well, he didn't come out the entire playoffs.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. That was pretty crazy.
Don't do that. Don't make me have to get into my facts bag. Come on.
That's pretty crazy.
The NBA is nuts right now. Also, I know we're not talking about the West, and this is a total non sequitur, but keep your eye on Jonathan Kuminga. That man's up out of there. He is up out of there. Doesn't sign his extension for the Warriors. Came out last year to say, me and Steve Kerr aren't effing with each other. I don't think he can develop me in any way. I think I'm Kawhi Leonard. I think I'm Pascal Siakam. They can't get the extension done for $30 million a year. And he was trade bait for Lauri Markkanen. He's up out of there. He is trade deadline bait. They're not going to pay him what he thinks he's worth. And if they can't pay him what he thinks he's worth, they're not going to let him go for nothing. They're not that dumb. So where's he going to go? I don't know.
That's interesting. That is interesting. And I see. And it was almost like, now that you kind of bring that up, it was almost like, I don't want to say disrespectful, but the Moses Moody, like to sign him. Whoa, whoa. Like, I know they kind of had to or whatever, but I don't know. It was odd to me that the Kuminga thing, they couldn't find out, but they, no, we're going to take care of Moses Moody.
They got that story out quick though, didn't they? About what he wanted.
Yes.
I didn't see it.
30 plus per. 30 plus.
No, they offered him 30 plus and he turned it down.
Oh, I misread that article.
They were offering 30 and he wants Pascal money.
Damn.
Okay.
That's
Can
what
he
I
even
read.
Get that? Like, I don't, is he in line to get it?
I don't.
I don't know.
I don't know.
And
I don't understand the NBA.
3 years, $32 million. Think about how nasty work that is. The whole reason that he got that low of money is because Golden State won't play him, and so nobody knows what he's really worth, and nobody knows how good he could really be. It dubs nasty work.
Nasty work.
Nasty work.
So our dubs. Do you think go ahead.
I'm just going to ask how she felt about our Kings. Like, I don't know when she's coming out here to light the beam.
I know. I was literally just looking at dates. But I've committed to go to games this year. I don't know if you noticed. I've been going to games.
I've noticed.
I'm going to games. So I'm going to come out the sack. I want to do it when there's a few games. Got a little homestand. Some good games. I'd love to see Wemby. But I'd like to also come out early. So we'll figure that out. I'm going to be out a couple times this year. I feel good about the Kings. I think this is a great regular season team at the very least, right? You got DeMar, who's one of the most clutch players in the fourth quarter. He and Fox are going to win you games single-handedly, games that you may not even should win. And that happened 2 years ago as well, where there was a lot of that. As long as this team can stay healthy, I think there's a potential to be like a 3 or 4 seed in the West.
What do you think about, like, what's your take on preseason? Because obviously the Kings had, like, one of the worst preseasons I've ever seen, we've all ever seen. But, like, what do you think about preseason?
I don't think about it, really, unless I'm trying to spin a narrative myself that I already believe, right? Like, I'm already Donovan Klingon Rookie of the Year, right? Like, that's just because it's me, right? You got Donovan Klingon, 14 points, 20 rebounds, 4 blocks. And I'm like, could he win it? Rookie of the Year.
He looked good. He was open.
He did look good. And they're blowing out Utah. But I mean, I don't think you can really take much out of preseason. I think we'll know in the first 10 games, as long as there's no injury, because Foxy got injured early on in the season last year, right? If I remember correctly, he was banged up early. So we didn't know what the Kings were. And then things kind of like never really recovered, especially since Herter was still like ick and, you know, Harrison got his new deal. So I think we'll know if the whole team's healthy, we'll know. And then we'll be able to have a better discussion about it. But for right now, I think Denver is totally screwed. Mm. I think they're dead. I think they're really dead. Oh. Jamal Murray still has a hamstring injury, still has a knee injury. We can't do that. Like we can't do that. That's I've now written them off. They've been written.
Like they've
been written.
Okay, Nas. It was what's that mean though? Like playing?
I mean,
what
they're like? Maybe they're a 7 seed.
Okay,
that's what that means. They're not a top 6 seed. If Jamal Murray is not 100% healthy, they will struggle. They're going to need Julian Strother minutes to be really, really good. And if you think you're going to get those minutes from Julian Strother, like Calvin Booth's really bad. He's really bad. Everything about him is sus.
Yeah.
So they get the Aaron Gordon deal done, and they needed to keep Jokic happy. But this thing's been on a steady decline for the last since they won the title.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That's kind of a consensus.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're on the downturn. I think I have them still in the top 6, though.
No, it was written. There, get out of here.
It's been written. I think the East, yeah, it's like, just, see you later. So.
What?
I think the East might be better than the West.
What was it 47.5? What was the number for Memphis?
47.5.
What more or less 47.5?
Chocolatey healthy, more. Chocolatey healthy, more.
Man. All right.
Chocolatey healthy. 49-1 team. They're gonna be good. They're gonna be really good. Brandon Clark's fully healthy again. Zach Edey. I really like Zach Edey. I think what we've seen from him has been, you know, very encouraging. Jaw and Edey together, really fun. Right, Desmond Bane still top shooter in the league. You got the perimeter sort of locked down. I like what they're doing. I mean, obviously, GG Jackson being out for the whole year is impactful, super impactful. I really like him a lot. Mm-hmm. But like, people just forget Marcus Smart is there. Just forget. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of players you just forget are there because they've been so banged up over the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Now we can really see them cooking. And Brandon Clark and Edey together, I think, will be super fun. Plus Jaren Jackson. Like, they just got dudes. They got dudes. They got dogs. They play a fun style of basketball. They want to win every game. Ja wants to play every game. That would be one to see. Kings, Grizzlies. What are you smirking at?
I just got a weird calendar invite.
To what?
What?
I have a meeting with our. It said it was titled "Good News to Share."
What?
That's what it was titled. Did
is it today?
No, it's tomorrow before the show.
Good news,
and I'm the only one on it.
Yeah. What? What's going on here? I have no idea.
No, you're not.
You get your own show.
you're on it too. Okay, everybody got it.
Hold on. Let me go check.
I don't know.
Mine,
it's a 15-minute meeting that says good news to share. Like, what is that? I don't even know who these people are.
I'm here now.
Such a derailing thing to bring up.
Well, I wasn't trying to. I was just like, looked at it and was confused. It's like, what is that?
Walk in, Damien.
I'm struggling. I've had a bad day. I can't put sentences together.
Well.
I had a weird morning.
Yeah, well,
I had an amazing night that led to the weird. It was tough. Yep.
You had to take somebody out, like Jason Sudeikis, walk her to the L.
What?
Walk her to the L train. You had a good night. Weird morning.
What are you talking about?
He knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I understand. They're not related. They're not related. He told the story earlier.
Related.
No, they're not.
No, but he
related.
Said it turned into it. He said a good night turned into a
no. They're unrelated.
My mind went to he had a little bitty over and he had trouble getting her out the door.
A little bitty.
You wild dude. You know I'm a grown ass man, right? You know that.
Jason Sudeikis, guys. Jason Sudeikis, the T from New York, is the Jason Sudeikis. Has girls coming over and he's walking them to the L train the
That's
next
crazy.
Day.
Who is Jason? Who is he?
Ted Lasso.
Okay.
No,
it's walking him to the L train. Damian Barling can do it.
Did he get an Uber? My gosh, why do I got to take the train?
What happened is I accidentally listened to R. Kelly this morning.
Oh. Because you had it on last night.
No, wow. No, that's not what happened. Somebody was messing with the iPad and threw off the algorithm. And on my way in, R. Kelly came on. And
who was messing with the algorithm?
Kimberly. I believe I can't remember if you met Kimberly or not, but we threw Kim a little party at the house, and she got a little touchy with the iPad and threw in like Ignition or something.
Wow, man,
that's what we're calling it these days. A little touchy with the iPad.
You see what this is what she's doing. I know what you're doing. She got into my Instagram comments because I posted like some song lyrics, and she's been like, she's been digging since then.
By the way, did you know that if you stream R. Kelly, the victims get the royalty money?
Ben sent that because he was responding to the show from 2 hours ago, and I did not know that.
So maybe you should stream it up.
Do you listen to Robert?
I can't say I actively do it. But I don't like.
You don't turn.
Well, I didn't turn it off. I'll say that was the true dilemma that happened.
Because it's bangers. That's basically.
TK.
No, I don't. I don't ever say Siri, play R. Kelly. No, that would be the first time ever.
Look, TK. I said earlier. You know, I'm a man. I keep it a stack at all times. And I had a conversation about a week ago. No lie. I said I've done my time. Like, it's fine. I've done my time. I'm not doing the entire sentence with Robert. I've done my time. I'm a free man. I'm out of here. Play.
Man, I mean, push play. Can we say the same thing about Michael? Like, there's just, we can't.
Michael who?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael no. Ain't do nothing.
We no. Don't know.
We don't have no problem playing Michael Jackson around here.
See, this is what I'm saying. You're taking the moral high ground on one thing.
No, because Michael ain't do nothing.
We can't play No Way Out either. We can't play.
Well, no, actually, we can't. We have edited Sean out of everything that airs on the radio.
No, I've been missing you.
No, it's I'll be missing you, and no, that gets no run.
No run.
No. 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 We had to edit his verse out of last night.
Yeah. That one sounds weird.
He's gone.
He's gone. You should be editing him out anyway. He was a terrible rapper. Like,
well, that's a solid.
Well, he wasn't even. People were writing the rhyme, so I don't know if Lil was a bad rapper.
He wasn't writing all of them. He wrote some of them.
No, he was writing some.
I don't think he wrote any.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
I don't think Puff wrote any rhymes. Wow, not one. He got so many things going on.
I can't believe you invoked Michael Jackson's name in this.
you listening to Chris Brown? Where do we stop it?
Well, I saw Chris Brown in person.
You're not doing that.
Look, I'm not saying that this makes sense, Trista. You a little too, you know what? We've gone long enough. We've got to wrap this up. Trista's way too goddamn fiery today. She's picking fights. We'll come back. It's D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320. 916-909-1320 if you want to get in here on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Jason Jones set to join us coming up about 30 minutes or so.
We had an official result of our play earlier. More or less 8.5 people in the building. It was more. There's 10 people.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a second. Look, these two weren't even here. They were here?
Not when we were doing, but we said we were going to count at three.
No, you said you were going to count at three. I didn't. Because when you said Malia's bag was here, I was like, oh, everybody's at lunch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're at lunch.
Because Jackie, Danielle, that whole crew all walked in together with little cups in the hand. Nobody ever says, hey, D'Lo and KC, never. Y'all want a little.
Not once.
Yeah, it'd be nice to go to lunch.
Not once. You want us to bring you something back?
Maybe enjoy a happy hour or something.
Y'all want a snack or?
I would like some nachos.
It'd just be us and Sylvia. That's it.
Man.
So, I don't know. Right. Maybe I win $50 for a dollar pick.
Well, it wasn't on my prize picks lineup, so doesn't count.
Run your game.
Run your game. Always. Always, always, always. Boy, TK was really passionate about that WNBA stuff.
Made a lot of sense, though. I don't want to be like a conspiracy theorist about it, but it made like I said, I was having these conversations at the beginning of the season, And I was trying to do my research about, like, if I'm going to talk, I want to know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never find something that broke down where the money's going, why it's not profitable. It would just be a bunch of articles saying, ah, they lost money.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was odd to me that I could never find not one article that broke things down. So I don't know. I don't know. She was making some sense.
Did you happen to see, I should have asked her about this too. I sometimes forget she's a Cowboys fan. Mm. Did you hear or see Troy Aikman's comments about the wide receivers?
No.
He was doing an interview and he's just like, you know, I don't really think a lot of this is on Dak. Like, I think some of these receivers are coming out of their routes, and he used the word lazy. It's like they're coming out of their routes lazy, and it looks like their approach to the game is lazy. Mm. And it got back to Mike McCarthy, who was really dismissive of it. He said he didn't agree with the wording or what others say. And that's fine. Like, I get that's a coach protecting his player. Mm-hmm. But this is also Troy Aikman, mm-hmm. right? It's not – I know it's your man, and I'm not – it's not Stephen A. Smith. He's not trying to get clicks and likes, and it's – it's not Greeny, and it's not Skip. Like, it's Troy Aikman. Right. Like, he's an NFL analyst, and he's, you know, a quarterback closely associated with your roster. And it made me think, like, is there a point where you take other people's critiques to heart a little bit? Because if I'm Mike McCarthy and I hear Troy Aikman say that, I want to talk to Troy Aikman about what he saw. Mm. Now, maybe Mike McCarthy already knows this is happening, and he's just trying to defend his players.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mike McCarthy knows something is happening and doesn't want to associate his wide receivers with the word lazy, because mm-hmm. that's obviously a direct reflection of him. But I feel like sometimes the status quo of, nah, we tune all the outside noise out. Like, yeah, no, I'd like to have a conversation with Troy Aikman about what he saw on film. Like, mm-hmm. there's no question Troy watches film. I'd be really curious to know what he thinks. I don't know. Maybe my line of thinking is wrong. Maybe I didn't think Troy was being
You said Troy called him lazy? Running routes lazy?
Yeah.
Coming out of the routes lazy.
Yeah, I feel like as a coach, you can't agree with that, because that's kind of like going against your players.
You can't.
I agree that you don't agree with it, but I'm asking, do you be so dismissive of it?
I don't think he was. I think he did exactly what you said, because according to what you said, because I haven't heard or seen it, but he said, I wouldn't use that wording.
Yeah.
he sees the same
okay,
thing.
That's what I was wondering.
The same thing.
That's
he's
what
like,
I was wondering.
I wouldn't use that wording.
Okay.
But
all right.
Maybe
they could come out a little faster.
Right. I think he agreed 100%
okay.
with Troy Aikman.
Okay.
And without lying, because in that moment, I think he could have out and out just lied about it and been like, no, he's wrong. He could have, because he's the coach. He's got to protect his players. But he didn't. He's, I mean, what do you mean by lazy? so, yeah, I think he saw the same exact thing and has seen the same thing and probably addressed it as such.
Okay. You disagree with all of that?
No. Like if he's saying, like, yeah, I wouldn't use that wording, then, yeah, I think Mike's kind of sort of agreeing. But you can't just go, yeah, I think, yeah. Receivers are lazy as hell.
That's kind of a crazy way for him to answer that. He said, I wouldn't use that word.
Mike McCarthy, man.
You kind of think of it, that's kind of wild.
I wonder if there's audio of Mike McCarthy addressing. There has to be. There had to be at a press scrum. Poor Mike McCarthy. He's just trying to get through the year.
He is. Well, I mean, Scooter asked a good question. I think I can answer it. He says, what does Jerry think about it, Casey? Well, yeah. Look, first of all, before you ask me anything, maybe we find somebody else to be in the chatty house, Scooter. You know, no, I'm dead serious. You don't go asking those questions of me and being in this position. But I'll say this. I'm watching the film, too. And one of the things that I see when I watch the film is, well, I watched it after I came from Morton's, but I'm seeing a situation where sometimes the routes are good and it's not good results. And sometimes the routes are bad and they're good results.
If they just didn't go on so long.
I had to finish the thought.
Well, why is the thought so long?
Because he's old.
Well, that's a great freaking point.
He doubled down on the Derrick Henry stuff again.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Then he said Mike McCarthy's designing bad plays and bad concepts on offense.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he say that verbatim?
He said that today?
I saw him say something show. Like, he was like, oh, the offense isn't the same offense. But he went into detail like that.
Clarence Hill Jr., one of their beat writers. Yeah, I tweeted that out.
Oh, man.
Goodness.
Mike, stand up for yourself, Mike.
He should just stand up and go, F that guy.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to, Jerry Jones. Oh, there's the 7-minute interview back with the people he threatened to fire.
Yeah, I think Jerry did today's greatest hits.
Jerry, a wild boy. Wow.
Yeah, he doubled down on the radio host, doubled down on Derrick Henry, and then just took shots at Mike McCarthy.
I don't know if he would be having a career year in our situation. Derrick Henry didn't fit because of the salary cap. All right, buddy. Whatever you say, pal.
Well, okay.
Jerry Jones is going to mess around, be too old, and like drop some NFL secrets or something he's not supposed to.
Oh, he's going to be the one who goes, well, you know, I had Colin Kaepernick banned. I could ban you.
That's it right there.
It's the one.
He's good. I always thought it would be Mark Davis. It just might wind up being Jerry.
You keep asking me these questions. You see what happened to Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that'll be it.
You can be next.
That'll be it. I can get rid of anybody.
Remember the fake Jerry Jones and Ballers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He was good. That was good.
That's the moment that I started to dislike The Rock. When The Rock, what was his name, Spencer?
Yeah.
When Spencer trusted the fake Jerry Jones in the last episode, it was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, everybody, like, what are you doing? Talking about, oh, no, sign off on this and I'll sign off on your thing. Oh, no, yeah, no, go ahead. I'll cast my vote first. There's no wonder. Did you hear what Donald said?
No.
Donald said The Rock called him after his assassination attempt.
Oh, goodness.
And you know what? I think I believe him.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, no, not Dwayne. Come on.
Yeah, he's Dwayne now. Walking around with a stupid-ass belt. I swear to God, if Roman Jost don't beat the crap out of him and get it over with. Oh, man.